It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Along the western border of our state, people experiencing homelessness are finding new housing opportunities and stability in their lives. City, county, and community agencies in La Crosse are working together to bring homelessness to what they call functional zero by 2029. That concept is a benchmark for when homelessness becomes rare or brief overall in a community because of its systems in place. And that system in La Crosse is an action plan called Pathways Home. So far, 88 people who formerly lacked housing now have a place of their own to call home. But there's still much work to be done. Tracking data shows nearly 275 people remain unsheltered in the area this winter. We're learning more now about La Crosse's community efforts to meet the needs of homeless individuals and to create additional housing in the area. Brian Sampson is the Homeless Services Coordinator for the City of La Crosse, and Jim Dries is the Homelessness Response System Manager for La Crosse County. They talked with Rob Ferret earlier this week.
Brian, I want to start with you. You are the first Homeless Services Coordinator for the City of La Crosse. You've been at it a few years now. What kind of things have you learned? What have you learned from the situation there in those first three, 4 years on the job?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I've learned is just that it takes a system or a plan to really get a good hold on homelessness. You know, for the first year or two in this role, really just trying to do a lot of collaboration with homeless service agencies and a lot of good work happening in the city of La Crosse. However, having a five-year plan to address homelessness and having that infrastructure or backbone support that city and county government can bring to the table is extremely helpful in addressing homelessness.
And Jim, you're coming to this at the county level as the first homelessness system manager for La Crosse County. Since starting last June, what do you see as the greatest challenges facing the homeless community there?
Yeah, you know, it's really a twofold challenge around the specialized housing that folks need to meet them where they're at, and then the wraparound support services. And we've got a lot of agencies involved doing great work, but just trying to build a central coordination to make sure we're finding the folks and effectively serving them.
Brian, people might think homelessness and they think big city problem. La Crosse, medium-sized city, it exists there, clearly.
Yeah, homelessness is everywhere. I mean, it touches everybody, especially with state of our housing crisis and economy. It's really everywhere. There's not a place in the United States, at least, that's excluded from homelessness or people being at risk of losing their housing.
Jim, homelessness doesn't necessarily know borders either. La Crosse as a city has been dealing with this for a while. What is important to you about bringing together different levels of government, county, city, townships, whatever, to tackle this problem together?
I think that the community was wise in making this a shared city-county plan to address homelessness. The city has a lot to do with housing and zoning and police response, and the county is the place where we have a lot of our supportive services that people need and where our skilled social workers are that can meet people and help them with what they need.
Brian, before we dig into that five-year plan, I want to get a sense of what's going on right now. Of course, a winter, a very frigid winter up till a few days ago in Wisconsin. Is there enough shelter space for those emergency needs, for people who don't have a place to go to take shelter in La Crosse right now?
No, there isn't. Our 24/7 shelter that we have in the city of La Crosse is Salvation Army, and they are full or at capacity all the time. And when there is an opening, it fills very quickly. So they have to turn away multiple people on a daily basis. And really, there's a lack of shelter beds and shelter capacity in our community right now.
And Brian, I know in the plan you're thinking bigger, and we'll get to that in a minute. Is there a sense that, okay, we need more emergency capacity now-ish?
Yeah, that is part of our plan, which is called Pathways Home. In our plan, it's called a temporary surge in shelter beds. And so that is something that we've been actively working on and are addressing. But in our goal, again, isn't to create a permanent long-term shelter in our community that has added beds. But we do want to come up with a bridge or temporary solution for that surge in shelter beds in our community.
And Jim, Brian just mentioned that plan, Pathways Home. Both you and Brian and your respective jobs at the forefront of this effort. What are some of the things in this partnership? What are some of the goals you're reaching toward here?
Yeah, so year one was largely about building the system and aligning the many great agencies and resources working on this issue. Year two, which is 2025, is about working towards ending the crisis of unsheltered homelessness. And two big deliverables this year. One is releasing a specialized housing plan that covers the type and quantity of housing our community needs, and then sets strategies and priorities to execute that plan. And secondly, as Brian alluded to, because the timing of housing development takes time, we're looking to stand up an emergency temporary shelter so any folks living outside have a safe option. That also helps us ability to serve and support them.
I want to dig into the big picture of this plan. Now, Brian, the Homeless Action Plan says the goal is to achieve functional zero by 2029. What do we mean by functional zero?
Functional zero means a couple of different things. Number one being that as a community, we can get more people into housing every month than people who are entering homelessness. So if we have 50 people entering homelessness in a month, we have the ability as a community to house 51 or more people. Secondly, it means that if we do everything we can to prevent somebody or household from entering homelessness, but if they do enter homelessness and slip through those cracks, they're only experiencing homelessness for 30 days or fewer. That's really the benchmark. And then finally, it's a one-time occurrence. Is if somebody's experiencing homelessness, that's the first and only time they'll ever have to experience something like that. They don't cycle in and out of housing. We're able to, as a community, help them get back on their feet, get into housing, and then they're able to stay there long-term.
Jim, our picture of homelessness sometimes is, okay, a person who's living permanently on the street. But as I talk to people in communities around the state, homelessness might be hidden. It might be that person who's having to stay in a car for extended periods of time, or couch surfing, or leaning on friends or family for brief transitory stays. How important is it to factor that into the effort here, not just the people we might see on street and think, ah, homeless person?
Absolutely. No, that's a whole collection of folks that might come into our system. As Brian alluded to, while some of them might technically meet the HUD definition of being homeless, they're at high risk of becoming homeless. And so looking at how we can prevent folks from even dropping into that homeless category, even for a day, is really super important.
We're talking about La Crosse's action plan to end homelessness in the region, functionally end homelessness in the region by 2029. We have Brian Sampson, the city's homeless coordinator, and Jim Dries, the County of La Crosse homeless response manager. Brian, take us into the practical hopes for what this is going to look like. A person is homeless by that 2029 guideline, tried to say, okay, no more than 30 days of homelessness for them. What could that look like, the process of getting them into not temporary housing, not emergency housing, but an ongoing housing situation?
Yeah, the first step is really to identify them. Ideally, in a perfect world, we would be able to identify somebody before they lose their housing. That's the best way that you can help somebody, is when they're already in housing. How can we help them stay in housing, whether that be helping them find a different apartment or a different unit? So ideally, that early intervention is where it's at. So the earlier we can intervene, the better. If somebody then still experiences homelessness after that, then we really want to treat it like a crisis. We have somebody who's readily available to help them search for housing, help them fill out applications, whatever that support may need, and then connect them with any ongoing supports. So that way they avoid whatever caused their homelessness in the first place. They're able to avoid that moving forward.
Jim, along the lines of support for people to be matched up with housing, to find help that they might need, I understand this year La Crosse County is going to add 3 peer specialists and 3 case managers to that Pathways Home program. Can you talk about those positions and the role you're hoping they'll play?
La Crosse County launched this specialized unit directed specifically at our homelessness response with 3 social workers last year. And that's been super effective in having them meet people where they are, understand their needs around services and housing, and then work through the process to get them housing. But those 3 aren't enough in our system. Our system today is at capacity in its ability to provide housing navigation and case management. So adding 3 more social workers is significant in terms of the number of people we can support. And another thing that clearly came through listening to our community was the need for these peer support specialists. Folks with lived experience who can connect to this population, build trust, and not just the housing, but also help people maintain their housing.
I want to talk, Jim, I will stay with you. The peer part of that seems really important. People who have been through this themselves might have actual valuable life advice for people in this situation. Talk a little more about their role.
Yeah, we know in encampments and homeless community, a lot of that already happens of people looking out for people. There can be a general distrust of the homeless population regarding to institutions and places trying to help them. And really, we need people in places to be able to make really good decisions, understand the options and the path forward for them. And having someone who's been there that can listen to them and provide some guidance on what to go next is really important. And that was really identified by a lived experience team that was part of the original planning of this, the importance of this for this system to really work.
Brian, the La Crosse City Council approved funding of two specialized housing proposals with some federal money behind it. Can you talk about what those are going to be, what the timeline is like?
Yeah, what we did, part of Pathways Home, was we created a list of everybody experiencing homelessness in the city of La Crosse and also got a better idea of what are their housing needs. So not just, you know, who's experiencing homelessness in our community, but how can we help them stop that crisis and get into housing that they want with the supports that they want and need. And so through that process, we are able to identify what are the exact housing needs in our community. And then we use that data to drive decision-making or make recommendations for funding for different types of supportive housing units that will directly address those needs of what that people have identified. So through the ARPA funding that the city council awarded, we will have 26 new units of different level of supportive housing that will come online in 2026.
Now, I'm looking at the La Crosse County website, the Pathways page, and I'm seeing monthly stats on the number of people experiencing homelessness, what kind of data collection you're doing, why it was important to you to get more than just that one night count that a lot of communities rely on.
First of all, it's critical for us to know the name of every person who is experiencing homelessness. And we do that through Pathways conferencing and our homeless outreach team with community partners to build that list. And here's one thing we can say from having worked it for more than half a year now, it's a very dynamic system. People are moving about in and out of homelessness. Once a year or twice a year, a point in time count misses that. It also, we don't necessarily know the history of folks, so we can understand what type of housing they might need to be successful.
Brian, I want to widen the lens a little bit. In addition to people experiencing homelessness, at risk of homelessness, I know, talking to people in communities all over the state, there's a lot of people paying more than they could really afford in rent or mortgage. Set the scene for us in La Crosse. What is housing availability, housing stock like in general there?
Yeah, in general, housing is very difficult to find in the city of La Crosse. We have the Mississippi River on one side of us, and we have the Bluffs on the other. So really difficult to grow our community. As part of our community's initiative to address housing, the city of La Crosse actually just completed a housing study. One of the more eye-opening issues that they found was that in order for our community just to catch up on general housing stock, we need to add 200 new units of housing every single year for the next 10 years.
Jim, if there are people listening in other communities around the state thinking, hey, we need this kind of comprehensive approach to homelessness and at-risk people in our community, what would you recommend to them as a starting point?
You know, there's a lot of communities out there facing this challenge, and I would recommend look at similar sized cities across your region, across the country. Part of our program was based on learnings from other communities that are going through this. And I think what you can find out is this is a solvable problem if you coordinate your effort, if you coordinate your resources, and stay focused on the challenge and be willing to invest in it. So I think the first thing is you have to make a decision. Is this a challenge your community supports? And then learn from those that are already doing this. We share information across this. We all have a common goal of reducing homelessness in every community.
And we'll leave it there. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
You are very welcome. Thanks for having us.
And Brian, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Brian Sampson is the Homeless Services Coordinator for the City of La Crosse, and Jim Dries is the Homelessness Response System Manager for La Crosse County. They talked with Rob Ferret earlier this week about the Pathways Home Plan, which aims to reduce homelessness to what's called functional zero by 2029 in this western Wisconsin county. Is there a plan in your community that's focused on solving a persistent problem? We want to hear about the plan and what your community is discovering, and perhaps we can highlight it in a future program. Share your story, share your ideas at wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Wisconsin has a shortage of mental health care providers, which has led to longer wait times. As we see artificial intelligence being used in treatment and diagnosis, in a coming program, we'll be looking into how AI could be filling some gaps. And we want to hear from you about this. Could AI be used to expand and improve mental health therapy in Wisconsin? Or perhaps you have reservations about that. Have you used mental health apps to manage your stress? Or do you use a personal chatbot as a form of therapy? Share your thoughts about mental health and the role of AI. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Or you can get in touch with us by sending a text or leaving a message at 888-642-0232. And here's the thing, we humans on Wisconsin Today read, we listen to, and we reflect on what you send our way. Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to WPR News.